This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. But can it continue to be a great nation? At least this is a question that is asked by many, many people on the right who are increasingly worried about the future of the country, with the entire composition of the country changing so dramatically. All of the growth in the United States in the last 10 years in population, all of it, was among non-white people. The actual number of white people, self-identified non-Hispanic whites, the number in America actually went down. And yes, there are continued projections, which we've been hearing for years and years and years, that America is bound to be a non-white majority. So in other words, a majority-minority nation, perhaps sometime by 2045, to which I say anybody who tries to predict anything that far in the future is going to have a very tough time. According to the new census numbers, 58% of the country identifies as non-Hispanic whites. And one of my core questions would be, so what? Well, does this change anything essential about the United States? Is there some kind of proud, profound difference in identity and in your values between somebody who might be Mexican-American who lives next door to you or somebody who might be Chinese-American? Does that mean that there is a profound difference that matters and shapes the future of our country? 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. A pleasure to speak about that with my friend Ruben Navarrete, who is an increasingly important voice in the national political debate. He has a twice-weekly column. That's a lot of work, believe me. And he is syndicated worldwide by the Washington Post Writers Group. He draws on both his knowledge of policy and politics and his life experiences to provide meaningful and hard-hitting commentary, a widely sought speaker on Latino affairs. He's also worked as a substitute teacher in classes from kindergarten to high school and has hosted radio talk shows, including this one at one point, I believe. Ruben, great to speak to you always.
My friend, great to be back with you. Thank you.
Okay, do you share my reaction that the focus on racial distribution and racial classification with the census is way overblown, that this is not one of the most important changes in all of American history, given the fact that we have been so deluged for more than 200 years with immigrants of various nationalities and various origins?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that you and I have spoken about this before. There is a tendency, I think, to identify with people in other ethnic groups based on similar experiences. You talked about your daughter living in the area of Lincoln Heights, Washington Heights, up in New York, and going to see the movie and emerging, saying, you know, I see a lot of similarities in our cultures. I see that all the time with regard to Asians and my Jewish friends and my African American friends. So I think the way we classify ourselves can be very similar, and the differences can be minimal. But I also think politically, Michael, certainly as it relates to the immigration debate, I covered the immigration debate in Arizona and in Texas and in California, and I can tell you that among a lot of my readers, they are very conscious of the idea that our complexion is changing, our composition is changing, the population numbers are changing, the language is changing, and I hear that kind of nativism ring in my emails, both sometimes from the left and the right. So I would say that some people do care a lot about this stuff.
Well, they do, but the question is, don't the statistics show, and I know you're right on top of this, I try to be, that the overwhelming majority of Latino immigrants to this country, whether they come from Central America or from Mexico or from South America, they all end up speaking English virtually, don't they?
Yeah, second, third generation for sure. Similar immigration patterns. The German immigrants who came in the 1700s, first generation, mostly German, a little bit of English. Second generation, half and half. And by the third generation, exclusively English. That was true of the Italian immigrants and the German immigrants and certainly of the Mexican and Latino immigrants who are coming now. They do speak English. English always wins out. But I think that there's always a fear, Michael, as there was back in the 1700s, that somehow the foreign language will win out. That somehow people won't assimilate. They used to say about the Chinese immigrants in the 1800s that they were unassimilatable. They couldn't be assimilated. They just looked too different. They spoke a different language, right? They had a different culture. And so there's always this kind of fear in the back of our minds that this new group of immigrants will come and somehow change the rules and they won't assimilate and they'll preserve who they are. And, wow, they end up changing us before we can change them.
And how do we know or how do we see, if you look back at American history, particularly at the history of Latino immigration, and of course there are literally millions of Latino people who were here early, I mean really early in American history.
Right.
How do you assure people that this is not going to involve some kind of sea change in a country that most Americans love?
Well, it's a good point. You know, you're right. 500 years ago, St. Augustine, Florida was founded. The Santa Fe, New Mexico was founded almost 500 years ago. People talk about the 1619 Project in terms of African Americans coming to the United States. When they got here, Latinos were already here. You know, and so that tells you how long this has been going on. I do think that a lot of it just comes from our exposure to people of different backgrounds. Again, if we see ourselves in their experience, we can always have the choice of saying, let's emphasize what separates us or emphasize what unifies us. And I think once we get to know these folks, we realize that these are really unfounded worries, that America always wins in the end, English always wins in the end, and people come to this country to be a part of it and contribute to it, not to take it away from it, not to change it. It's similar to the argument over gay marriage. You think about people would say, well, gay people wanting to marry somehow threatens the institution. And they say that's nonsense. People want to buy into the institution. That only strengthens it. And likewise with America. Immigrants want to buy into America. It's always been that way.
Okay. In terms of just the political ramifications, didn't the last election show that Republicans can be much more competitive with Latino voters?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, in a strange way, because Donald Trump, of all people, appealed to them. You and I have seen before people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, George W. Bush, Ronald Reagan also did incredibly well with Latinos. And Democrats often find themselves at a deficit because they really don't have anything new to offer Latinos. And they often take Latinos for granted and don't really appreciate the support they've gotten. In every presidential election dating back to 1960, a majority of Latinos have voted for the Democratic candidate. And you would never know it from the degree to which Latinos are ignored in the Democratic process. So I think Republicans always have a shot, but it really is incumbent always, as we've said on the show before, to Republicans to choose the right people, to choose people who see immigrants as a positive and not a negative, and who refuse to play these tired and racist nativist games that go all the way back to what Franklin said about the Germans in the 1700s. That somehow these different people are coming here to change you before you can change them. It's just not a good salesmanship. It's not a good look. The optics are not good, my friend, and it scares Latinos away.
What about, I want to get to this as soon as we get over the break. There's a big push now to impeach or at least demand the resignation of Alejandro Mayorkas, who is the Secretary of Homeland Security, because he would be a convenient person to blame for what is a mess and a chaotic situation at the border. What is actually going on there? Is that a good way to compete for Latino votes by going after, he's actually Cuban-American, going after one of the prominent Latinos in the Biden cabinet? We will get to that and more about what happens next in the border crisis with Ruben Navarrete coming up.
entertain your brain.
Your show is very entertaining.
Every day on The Michael Medved Show.
Will socialism or free markets decide the future direction of Washington State? Washington Policy Center stands for free markets and market-based solutions. But we can't do it alone. Hear from the acclaimed CEO of Whole Foods and free market champion John Mackey, who calls capitalism the greatest thing humanity ever accomplished. And join him October 1st at the Bellevue Hyatt Regency. Tickets and information at WPCDinner.com. That's WPCDinner.com. Introducing MedHead Plus, where you get all the benefits of regular MedHead members, plus you get access to anything in our MedVed History Store downloaded for free. Existing MedHead members can upgrade to MedHead Plus with a cost of only $79 per year. And for the next 30 days, new members can also join for $79 a year. MedHead Plus, get it all. Go to MichaelMedVed.com, find out about the new sale right now on MedHead Plus members.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of My Pillow, here to tell you about my Giza Dream bed sheets. I made sure that they would be everything you'd ever want in a sheet set. I started with the world's finest cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all meet. The long staple cotton makes my Giza Dream sheets ultra soft and durable. They come with extra wide pillowcases to fit over any pillow and extra deep pockets to fit over any mattress. Not only that, they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. I personally guarantee that they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
That's two for one low price, plus free shipping. Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
Tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Michael Medved Show and Andy Biggs, who's a Republican, a very strong supporter of President Trump, congressman from Arizona, has, among others, called for the impeachment, removal, firing, suspension of Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas, and he points to the situation at the border, which Ruben Navarrete, I think you would agree, is not optimal right now, to say the least. And every president recently has come in promising immigration reform. President Bush tried very hard, never got it. President Obama didn't really try at all in his first term. President Biden seems to have forgotten that entirely. Do you think that Mayorkas is partially to blame for what's going on at the border?
No, not much, Michael. I mean, you have a century-long or more pattern of people coming across the border. You have Mexicans, now Central Americans, coming across the border. 200,000 Central Americans apprehended last month alone. I have trouble wrapping my head around the idea that one person is to blame for this, that if you had a different Department of Homeland Security secretary, you'd have a different reality on the border. I was also struck by the fact that in this particular case, this Republican congressman, they didn't see fit to launch impeachment articles against Jay Johnson or Jan Napolitano. They're Democrats who were once Department Secretaries of Homeland Security. And I just think it's coincidence that you didn't have against the African-American or the white woman, but you have against the first Latino in that position. All of a sudden, people are talking about impeaching the guy. And here's where I think this comes from. I've gotten mail in the past, Michael, from people who said, you're not fooling anybody. You just want an open border so you can bring your cousins in. Okay? So there are people who see me as a Mexican-American columnist that somehow I want an open border. And I always tell them, that's not fair. You don't know my cousins. I don't want them here. This is something that again, our populations have in common. You recall in the 20th century, one of the common slams and slanders against Jewish Americans was that they had divided loyalties. Divided loyalties. And that's something that Latinos are accused of having, divided loyalties. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that the first Latino who heads the Department of Homeland Security, suddenly this white Republican from Texas or from Arizona, wants to impeach him. I think it's all connected.
Yeah, you know, he's also Jewish, right?
Yes, yes, and from Havana, born in Havana. And he took a hard line recently. You know, I've had trouble with Mayorkas as well. He took a hard line, 2 weeks ago, telling the Cubans on the island, basically, don't come. Don't even think about coming, right?
Right, and these are people who are being persecuted. And again, there's also on in conservative media, there's a concern about Afghan immigrants flooding the country.
Right.
And this is at a time when people are facing the danger of the most ruthless kind of repression and persecution. So what needs to be done? Clearly you don't feel... I don't think there's any American who feels comfortable with a chaotic border that is unenforceable, and nobody wants open borders. What do we do to have a workable border? It's not going to be finishing a wall, right?
It's not going to be that. It's going to be a lot more money on electronic equipment and surveillance. This is a 21st century war. They're fighting down there. They need more intelligence. I've always said instead of $25 billion for a wall, how about you give $10 billion to the Border Patrol to buy, new electronic equipment so they can monitor the border more effectively. But in terms of the refugee situation, you have this terrible influx of people. Only one in four people who come in and apply for refugee status typically get it. And I think that what Biden needs to do is send more lawyers and judges down to the border to adjudicate cases quickly, to decide who can come in, who can demonstrate a credible fear and an unwillingness to go back to their home country. And we keep some of them and we send some of them back. And that's ultimately what you have to do. But what's happening now, Michael, is this kind of wholesale kind of bringing everybody in, and then you house them and you let them go and you keep some. And then you just, nobody knows quite what's going on down there. It's a chaotic mess. The Biden administration doesn't have a plan. The Republicans have less of a plan than the Democrats do. And it's a bad situation for sure.
What about going back to what has been the plan really for immigration reformers for a long time, which is first border security, and then once you do border security and you really do convince the American people, okay, we've got this under control, then you talk about something on providing some path to citizenship for dreamers, some path to legal residency for the 11 million people who are here now undocumented. Where there must be tremendous disappointment at the Biden administration, because they haven't succeeded in anybody's priorities, have they?
That's absolutely right, yes. And I think one of the things that's important is for the American people to understand the difference between securing the border and sealing the border. And I think we say secure the border, but a lot of people here seal the border. And what the Border Patrol agents tell me whenever I go down to the border is they want everybody to know that there's no barrier known to man that will keep out somebody who's desperate to come here to make money to feed their family. And as Border Patrol people have said, you know, you build a wall, they're going to go around it, over it, or under it. So there are always going to be people coming across. But to secure the border, you can do a better job there with more electronic surveillance, giving the Border Patrol what they want, more roads along the border so they can get from point A to point B, more tunnel detection equipment so you can see where people are coming underneath the walls and the like. And just listen to the Border Patrol agents. It's not that hard. Michael, if the politicians just go down to the border and shut up and listen, the cops will tell the politicians what they need. Like what typically happens, this doesn't surprise you, politicians go down there in both parties, and they come and tell the border cops, well, this is what you need, this is what I'm going to give you, this is what you need. And that's just nonsense. You got to listen to the cops.
And it's always a good idea to listen to the cops, especially in matters of law enforcement. And you say
right.
that as the son of a cop.
Right.
In terms of back to this other thing about people focused on the census, and it turns out that today one in four Americans is either Latino or Asian, which is way up. Don't we also need, I mean, as part of the whole immigration debate, an emphasis on Americanization? And it's not assimilation, it's Americanization, making sure that people who do
yep.
come to our country go
yep.
through the immigration process and become patriotic and knowledgeable and committed to the United States.
Absolutely. That we learn our history, learn our civics, learn how things go. It's a participatory democracy. You know, ask not what the country can do for you, but what you can do for the country. I think that's all important. I think a lot of that happens naturally through our public schools and through living in the U.S., but there's nothing wrong with giving it a push. But again, immigrants
are
not the
problem. And maybe being careful that
we don't
put in our public schools an anti-American kind of curriculum that runs down rather than extolling the United States and what we offer and our virtues and our basic core goodness. And speaking of core goodness, that describes my friend Ruben Navarrete. Always a pleasure. You can read his latest columns. We've posted them at our website at michaelmedved.com. And we will be right back with more on the unfolding crisis in Afghanistan and where we go from here on The Medved Show.
Can I just say that you do more for radio than what high definition will ever do for television?
This is The Michael Medved Show.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Top military official says a Herculean effort is underway to evacuate folks from Afghanistan's capital city of Kabul. Army Major General Hank Taylor stressing that the city's airport remains under U.S. military control and is secure. His comments come as the Taliban has effectively taken control of the Afghan capital. Tennessee Republican Congressman Mark Green tells Fox News what he's been telling veterans who are concerned about what's going on in Afghanistan.
For 20 years, your sacrifice bought us freedom from a terrorist attack. It was valuable. What happens now is on Joe Biden and his administration. The failure to properly get out of the country is his fault, not ours.
Johns Hopkins University is reporting the United States is surpassing 37 million cases of COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic. You're listening to USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, talking about the ongoing crisis in Afghanistan and what the long-term impact will be on the United States. I mean, clearly it was not part of our plan for building up the nation of Afghanistan to absorb 100,000 or more, and it could be many, many more, Afghan immigrants into this country. The idea was to make Afghan a viable, defendable country. And the irony about everything that's going on right now is that to some extent it was. We had succeeded more than people realize in our war aims. We had very quickly obliterated the Taliban, driven them from power, partially because we had such strong Afghan allies. You remember the Northern Alliance? And Afghan is not a monochromatic, monolithic sort of ethnic enclave. Yes, the Pashtun, which is the group that the Taliban are from, is the largest ethnicity, but there are all kinds of other Uzbeks and Tajiks and others who make up the Afghanian population. Somebody who fought in Afghanistan, whose name is Matt Zeller, came on MSNBC. And again, this is MSNBC, right? Everyone assumes that MSNBC is going to be always reflexively pro-Biden and pro-democratic and pro-administration. Well, they're not. They're appalled with everyone else. Listen to what Zeller sounds like talking on the most liberal of the cable networks. This is clip 1A.
I feel like I watched a different speech than the rest of you guys. I was appalled. There was such a profound, bold-faced lie in that speech. The idea that we planned for every contingency, I have been personally trying to tell this administration since it took office. I've been trying to tell our government for years that this was coming. We sent them plan after plan on how to evacuate these people. Nobody listened to us. They didn't plan for the evacuation of our Afghan wartime allies. They're trying to conduct it now at the 11th hour. The thing that they were most concerned about was the optics of a chaotic evacuation. Well, they got exactly what they were most concerned of by failing to do what was right when we could have done it. We had all the people and equipment in place to be able to save these people months ago, and we did nothing.
Okay. That is a profound indictment. And by the way, it's not just preparing the people to get out. It's preparing for the political support that the administration needs. And given the fact that he was following up on a policy that Trump had put on the table, and he was, and that there were many Republicans, if not most Republicans, who had supported Trump when he was doing his peace negotiations, when he made the deal with the Taliban basically to force the Afghan government to release 5,000 prisoners who were some of the worst folks in the world and went right out into the battlefield. Well, all of that is an indication of why it was so important that President Biden not try to do it with a small insular group in the inside of his administration and actually make it a consensus decision for the United States public and for our political system, including, yes, Republicans who may not entirely agree with you and might moderate your plan to make it more reasonable. The Zeller went on, Matt Zeller, to talk about the people that we are leaving behind. Listen, this is one of the...
I'm appalled that he thinks we only need to take 2,000 people. There's 86,000 people who are currently left behind in Afghanistan alone. We've identified all of them for the government. I have no idea why he claims that people don't want to leave Afghanistan. I have a list of 14,000 names right now of people who want to get out of Afghanistan. And the idea that the Afghan military should be blamed for this... Do you know how many casualties the Afghan military took in an average year? More than the United States did in 20. When you're not getting paid on a regular basis, when you're not getting fuel, when no one is supplying you with ammunition, and yet you're still showing up to the fight, how dare us for having to blame these people for not having the audacity to be able to survive a Taliban onslaught? No. What we need to be doing right now, and what I am appalled that the president didn't say, was we need to be talking about how we're going to get every single one of these people out.
And by the way, this, of course, recalls some of the stupid propaganda that was put forward in 1975 when we abandoned our Vietnamese allies. We didn't even keep the promises that we gave to the South Vietnamese during the Paris Accords. And yes, they were not formal. It was not a formal treaty. But you know that there were over 500,000 South Vietnamese soldiers who died fighting the communist takeover of their country. And again, Americans then blamed them for their lack of sacrifice. Of course, we had enormous sacrifice in Vietnam. But it was all part of the process of struggling against the evil empire and the spread of that malicious communist idea, which, by the way, is not so far away from Pakistan and the Taliban and what we're dealing with in Afghanistan. General McMaster, again, who former National Security Advisor, who wrote the book on how we lost Vietnam, literally a best-selling book that was acclaimed by everybody. He's asked very directly on CBS News whether there should have been some kind of long-term permanent presence of the U.S. military in Afghanistan itself. Here's his answer to B.
Are you suggesting that we should effectively have a permanent force in Afghanistan? Is that your belief?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, Anthony, are we still in South Korea? Right? We have 30,000 troops in South Korea. We had 3,500, 2,500 troops most recently in Afghanistan, who, as I said, were enabling the Afghans to bear the brunt of the fight against our common enemies. And the cost of that was minuscule, and it was sustainable. Look at the cost now to the Afghan people, to the world, to humanity. And what was it worth it, right? We can cry all the crocodile tears we want, Anthony, about, you know, Afghan women. But if they don't have the security to prevent, you know, these criminals, these jihadist terrorists who use a perverted interpretation of Islam to justify their criminal acts, then what can you do? You can't do anything without that kind of fundamental security.
And General McMaster, who knows something about security, is, of course, correct. And the idea that somehow this would be welcomed by the American public, and it's not even being welcomed by some of the most outspoken Democrats who look at this and see the abandonment of women, that is, of course, a huge issue. And what's ironic about this is the statement by Vice President Harris, who says the vice president confirmed she was the last person in the room before Biden made his decision to move forward with withdrawing U.S. troops. Quote, I have seen him over and over again make decisions based exactly on what he believes is right. Harris said, Vice President Harris confirmed Sunday she was the last person in the room before Joe Biden made the decision to pull all U.S. troops out of Afghanistan. Okay, Madam Vice President, don't you wish now, as the last person in the room, you had said, Joe, can we talk about this a little more? Maybe bring in some people from the other side so it's not a partisan issue, that it's not an issue that destroys our administration and basically harms the entire country. Don't you wish, Madam Vice President, that you had done that? This is a president who has an extraordinary amount of courage, she said, regarding the decision. He is someone who, I have seen it over and over again, makes decisions based on what he truly believes is the right thing to do. Well, you can believe something and be wrong. Harris said Biden is acutely aware that it may not be politically popular or advantageous for him personally. It's really something to see. I don't think he was aware of that. Otherwise, he would have had that speech prepared rather than trying to come up with it after the disaster had begun to unfold. We will be right back on the MedVed Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results. And after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone. But the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone. And so, therefore, my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833-654 pain.
Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Youngevity for over 17 years, since before it was Youngevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Youngevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Youngevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Youngevity.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Traders, listen up. As life in America starts to return to normal, are you looking for the best trading opportunities? With the current real estate market, the rise of crypto, and the volatility of tech stocks, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how our technology analyzes over 1 million data points per day. Text the word money to 813-813 so you can learn how to predict market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, Forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to find out how to maximize your gains. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how to use the volatility to your advantage. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813 now.
By texting in, you consent to receive calls, voice, and text messages using automated technology regarding offers by or on behalf of Vantage Point.
On the Michael Medved show, there is no telling at the moment what the impact of recent events have been on public opinion. I think there's a general assumption that the one-time sort of thoughtless, reflexive majorities who said, yeah, we ought to be done with Afghanistan. Yeah, let's go home. We're done with that. All of a sudden, when people are seeing the consequences and when they're seeing so much unity, really, even in media, it's extraordinary. Can you think of anything where in recent times you can watch a little bit of cable TV and you can't tell whether it's MSNBC or Fox? I mean, really? But that's the case here, because the entire decision is such a disaster. There was this from former President George W. Bush. He was the U.S. president who, with, by the way, nearly unanimous congressional approval, drove the Taliban out of power with the first strike. There was one member of Congress, Barbara Lee, who voted no. No members of the Senate who voted no. No authorization. It was obviously the right thing to do, to go after Osama bin Laden and go after their training grounds and make sure that there was some consequence to the Taliban for the murder of 3,000 Americans. President George W. Bush writes the New York Times, who ordered the 2001 U.S.-led invasion that drove the Taliban from power, said he felt deep sadness at the group's takeover of Afghanistan, and he defended his decision to launch what would become America's longest war. Our hearts are heavy for both the Afghan people who have suffered so much and for the Americans and NATO allies who have sacrificed so much, the former president and his wife, Laura Bush, wrote in a letter released yesterday. Mr. Bush was in his first year of office with little experience in foreign affairs when the September 11th attacks prompted him to deploy troops to Afghanistan to drive out the Taliban government that had sheltered the terrorist leader Osama bin Laden. But then Mr. Bush turned his focus to invading Iraq, the costly military campaign that would come to define his presidency, etc., etc. And in the letter, Mr. Bush addressed U.S. troops who had served in Afghanistan, including thousands who did multiple tours, arguing that he had not sent them to war in vain. quote, "You took out a brutal enemy and denied Al-Qaeda a safe haven while building schools, sending supplies, and providing medical care," he said. "You kept America safe from further terror attacks, provided 2 decades of security and opportunity for millions, and you made America proud." I do think that for much of what we did in Afghanistan, and this does not go to the question of, was it worth the sacrifice? Was it worth the sacrifice for the families? Was it worth the sacrifice of money? Was it worth the sacrifice of focus to spend all that time trying to build up a viable Afghanistan, which a lot of people said never could be done? That's a different argument from the fact that what happened in the last week has been unspeakably stupid and destructive and damaging to the country. In fact, General McMaster said this to all of those Americans who tell pollsters, yeah, we want to go home. We're done with this war. War should come to an end. Here's what General McMaster had to say.
A lot of Americans would look at this general and say, we spent 20 years there, billions of dollars trying to build up their army, which collapsed in a matter of days.
Okay, Anthony, you know, we withdrew 2,500 troops. How many are there now, right? So wars don't end when one party decides to disengage. The Taliban, Al-Qaeda, which is completely intertwined with the Taliban, didn't say, oh, hey, the Americans aren't here anymore. Let's just stop the jihad. So we have our own narrative, our narcissistic, self-referential narrative about ending the endless wars. But hey, guess what? Wars don't end when we leave, and our enemies are fighting an endless jihad.
And here is an email that came in from Jason. And Jason's in South Jordan, Utah. He says, Michael, I can understand Democrats supporting leaving Afghanistan. They support late-term abortion, and they have little care for human life, despite what they claim. What bothers me is supposed pro-life Republicans supporting leaving there. I think there are not many, frankly, certainly not now. Knowing it will lead to murder and abuse of human rights for women and children. That is what disturbs me about the Trump wing of our party. Shows their hypocrisy. Turns out they only care about American life, and when this causes a huge surge in refugees across Europe and eventually the U.S., they will be up in arms about it. He says, hypocrites. Look, I think it's possible to make an argument that America had sacrificed too much. But when you look at what Jason is saying in the context of how much that sacrifice had dwindled, how much had actually been achieved, the real question here is whether there was a choice to continue with that relative stability that had been achieved in Afghanistan without sending in a huge number of new troops. Of course, the argument President Biden gave the other day, which I think was a fallacious argument, was they had to move quickly because with the fighting season coming up, the Taliban would start fighting again and the Afghan army would be tested. Well, maybe we could have supported them in the test without sending the 4,000 new troops who are on the ground in Afghanistan. This is the announcement in that regard made by Major General Hank Taylor, who talked about what our forces would like and what the alignment of forces would look like at the end of today. This is clip 5.
As we speak, we are continuing air operations, and air operations continue throughout the night. I'm tremendously proud of the Herculean effort we've seen by our U.S. military so far. The rapid insertion of Marines and soldiers and a number of enabling forces moving from both within the CENTCOM AOR and from the United States. Yesterday, the U.S. military footprint in Afghanistan started at about roughly 2,500. And by the end of today, there will be more than approximately 4,000 troops on the ground in Kabul. Forces will continue to flow in and reinforce the State Department and DOD effort there. The operation is ongoing, and I'd like to give you a few more details on that operation. HKIA remains secure. It is currently open for military flight operations as well as limited commercial flight operations. Throughout the night, 9 C-17s arrived, delivering equipment and approximately 1,000 troops.
Okay, he talks about limited commercial operations. Can you imagine all the tourists who want to be pouring into Afghanistan right now? It's so sad. And it's so terrible to see that that videotape of what is actually happening before the eyes of the world. One of the things that's happening is they're taking our materiel. This is the National Security Advisor to President Biden, Jake Sullivan, clip 6.
$100 billion worth of weaponry that the U.S. gave Afghanistan. Does the U.S. have a plan for that, or does it remain in the Taliban?
We don't have a complete picture, obviously, of where every article of defense materials has gone, but certainly a fair amount of it has fallen into the hands of the Taliban. And obviously, we don't have a sense that they are going to readily hand it over to us at the airport.
Of course they're not. So why didn't you do that in advance? There was what was the need to hurry up, and announce and bring all our troops home before you even had secured the equipment that the U.S. taxpayer had bought? Honestly, you don't have to be a conservative. You don't have to be a supporter of the military. You don't have to be a supporter of the war on terror to look at this as one of the most truly bizarrely incompetent, ridiculous decisions made by an American president in recent memory. It's appalling. We will get a position from Andrew Sullivan, who has been on so many sides of issues, originally supporter of the war in Iraq, then a great critic, but a great lover of the United States. Andrew Sullivan and more coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.